The world we live in can be a strange place, and usually even stranger through the eyes of a magician. Join Peter Nardi and Mark Spellman for their laid-back, no-holds-barred chat about the news, life, movies. In fact, who knows what they will talk about. Grab a drink, buckle up, and get ready for Wizards Whiskey and Waffle.
Hi, guys. Sorry, we're actually a couple of days late this week, and that is purely because, I mean, there is no excuse for it, but there is an excuse for it, and that is we were just really busy. I had stuff on, Mark had stuff on, but we are here now. So this is going out on Friday, but we will be back to Tuesdays. Mark.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm all right. Yes, apologies to everybody listening. Yeah, I had one of my number one fans, actually, a lady called Chloe, really lovely. She listens to everything, bless her, and she and sends me lovely messages on Instagram and everything. She's like lovely. I can't wait. One day when I do a tour, if ever, you know, it'd be lovely to see her. But she. Sent a message. I've gone to my podcast, my various applications, and it's not there. What's going on? So I did explain. I said it has been absolutely crazy. So you've been busy in Alakazam getting ready. And, yeah. And actually, a really interesting thing that I want to talk about actually with you was some of your new products and that dilemma of the trailer. But we'll talk about that in a second.
Yes.
And I've just purely been busy, I have been busy with magic, actually, because I've got something coming out very soon, which is all very exciting, but we'll talk about that a bit later as well. Tessa, for those that don't know, my wife owns a beauty clinic in London called Tessa Stevens Health and Beauty, and she's a genius when it comes to skin and all that kind of stuff.
She really is, because people don't realise you're 89.
I'm 89. Well, actually, see, you're still going off the age that I told you when we first became mates. I'm actually 97. So, yeah. So, no, Tessa is an absolute genius when it comes to skin. She's very, I think when you say beauty clinic, a lot of the time people think of like a sort of pink boudoir type thing with lots of people having their nails done. But Tessa Stevens, they do nails because people want their nails done and that kind of thing, but it's really, some of the stuff's really kind of cutting edge, contemporary kind of skincare and really amazing. But I've been literally in the beauty clinic that's not open, but yeah. I've been going in there and we're trying to preempt, you know, kind of almost the guidelines, you know, like obviously there's the 2 meter social distancing, which has now been sort of, because of the bars and stuff, they're saying it's going to be 1 meter. But obviously in Tessa's industry, it is quite close contact. I mean, if you're sort of doing someone's eyebrows or you're looking after their skin and doing facials and peels and all that kind of stuff, it's quite close proximity. So I'm in there and just sort of, you know, hand sanitizers are everywhere on the walls and blah, 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 blah. But I've literally been, I've probably done about 4 or 5 days straight.
Just sort of DIYing and getting the place ready.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I'm actually very good at DIY. So if you said to me, Mark, can you tile my floor? I could. If you said to me, can you paint the ceilings, put the wallpaper up and whatever, I can do all that, which is great and really useful. But at the same time, when your wife owns a beauty clinic and no one else can come and do it because they're supposed to be social distancing, it's like, hubby, I need your help.
See, that's I'm lucky because I literally cannot do anything. I mean, Jenny once got really excited because I changed the light bulb and she thought she was going to have to call her dad. And that's the truth. She was so, I could see the sort of amazement in her eyes. And, you know, it was as if, like, I had just saved someone's life.
But sorry, mate, can I just can I just say something really quickly?
Yeah.
Is this a true story?
Yeah, 100%.
You can really change a light bulb?
Yeah. No, well, I say I can't. I did once. Whether I still remember how to do it is a different story. But I did it once, and it was fine. It really was fine.
Can I just say something to the listeners? Because this is really important. We said from day one of doing this podcast that everything we said on this podcast had to be true. It had to be our no holds barred. You promised me you've actually changed the light bulb. I'm finding it hard to believe.
No, I did. And it was when we lived in Lewisham, so it was over 20 years ago now, but it did happen. It literally did happen. And Jenny was over the moon, and she honestly said to me afterwards, "Oh my God, you know, that's amazing. I thought I was going to have to call my dad."
So. That's it. You know, this sounds a bit like, you know, people question whether people landed on the moon.
Yeah.
All that conspiracy theories, all that kind of stuff. This sounds like one of those. It's like, I need to, listen, you're a good friend and I'll take your word for it. But I do feel as though I do want to sit down with Jenny and I want to ask her face to face and make sure she's not lying, you know, to make you look good. I want to know that this.
If Arthur C. Clarke was about, he would have done a whole episode on that.
Yeah, they would have stigma, forget that. You know, UFOs, forget that. Peter Nardi changed his life, but what, get out of here. A little bit too far-fetched, mate.
So, yes, I have done a little bit. But, no, I know what you mean, because, I don't, because I don't do DIY. But I know friends of mine that do, and they always get dragged into...
Yeah,
so doing everything,
you know, it's funny, it's weird, because normally I would moan about it loads, and Tessa would probably, if she was here right now, she's actually gone for a lovely walk with one of her friends, socially distancing through this beautiful place called 40 Hall, so summer's evening walk, which is lovely, Tessa would say that I have been moaning about it, but part of me, actually, it's been a bit of a change to my daily routine, so I've been homeschooling Isabella, and getting on with loads of stuff for like X's website and loads of things are happening, you know, that you still have to keep on working, like all these things are going to happen, the tour and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, I have moaned about going into the clinic, but at the same time, I've gone in there, I've kind of got my coffee, I listened to loads of stand-up comedy on Netflix. So I put Netflix on and just put loads of comedy on. Now, I am going to say this. This is a PG-rated podcast, you know, which we know we're going to have young listeners and stuff like that. So I won't go into any other details than saying I listened to a lady called, Alice Wong.
Right. What, on Netflix?
Netflix, a stand-up comedian, a lady. And when I tell you, I spat out my coffee a couple of parts because I could not believe what she was saying. So yeah, it's either Alice Wong or Nancy. I'm sure it's Alice Wong, but anyway. So yeah, just, you know, bear in mind it is very, very it's close to the mark. It really is. Can I tell you another little thing?
Please do.
Have you got any sort of like, you know, like, what do you call it? The X-Files, something sort of spooky, like, you know, that kind of like, have you got any sort of sound bites like that?
I think I have. Hang on 1 minute.
All right. Tell me if you've got something, and then I'm going to say my line, then you play the sound bite, and then I'll tell you the story.
Okay. Hang on. Yes, I have got one.
Right, are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want me to play it? Or do I play it before or after? How do we do this?
I'm going to call this sort of... I'm just going to say what I'm going to say, and then you'll know. I'll just pause, you then play the music, then I'll tell you the story, yeah?
Right, okay. I'm ready. So the listeners better prepare themselves for this, because with all that preparation, this is going to be mega.
It's actually just a stupid little story. Right. But anyway.
Go.
Right. So, spooky coincidence of the week. Nice. That's perfect. That's actually way better than I thought it was going to be. Okay. So, I've just binge-watched Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. Now, you and I are massive Ricky Gervais fans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but the subject of Tessa watched the first series when it came out, I think, what, a year and a half ago or whatever it was, Afterlife. And she watched it. I love Ricky Gervais. Like, I'm a massive fan of Ricky Gervais. And literally, he says things that I think that I know I should never say.
Yeah.
And, but I've always held back on Afterlife because I know it, the subject matter is obviously his wife has passed away from, I'm not ruining it here, his wife has passed away from cancer and it's his life thereafter.
Yeah.
So I've always been a bit kind of, there's been a bit of me that sort of steered away from it a little bit, a bit hesitant because of what happened with Tessa. But I thought to myself, like, you know, series two's out now, you know, Tessa's all good. So come on, you know, watch, everyone keeps talking about this Afterlife. Watched Afterlife, absolutely loved it. I thought it was absolutely amazing.
It is brilliant.
Something that can have you really welling up at one point, you know, close to tears, and in the next minute just have you cracking up in hysterics is, I think, genius writing.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's amazing. And I think Ricky Gervais is amazing. So that's my fanboying bit over. Love you, Ricky Gervais. Watch series two as well. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. And Tessa goes to me, that house looks really familiar. And I'm going, it does, doesn't it? And she's gone, yeah, no, it does. She goes, our wedding photographer, do you remember we went to his house to look at his albums? And I was like, yeah, because we, when we got married, we went and our wedding photographer was this amazing guy.
Yeah.
And I met him when I was performing at another wedding and I just watched him doing his style of photography. And he's really kind of one of those people that takes a photograph in a almost like a paparazzi style. Rather than getting everyone to stand and pose for a picture, he gets all really organic, natural photographs. And I remember performing, it was at the down at Goodwood House years ago. And I remember thinking to myself, if ever I get married, if ever me and Tessa tie the knot, I'd love to get him to do my photography. And got in contact with him. And he said, look, lovely to hear from you again, Mark. Yeah, absolutely. Be delighted to do your wedding. Come down and check out some of the albums that I put together previously. And we went down to his house in Hampstead. And that house is actually, I said to Tessa, maybe that's on the same road. And Tessa's going, no, I think he lives next door. So I got in contact with him the other night, literally 2 days ago, after I binge-watched Afterlife. And he goes, oh, yeah, Ricky, yeah, he's lovely. Yeah, that's my house. And it's actually my wedding photographer's house that is used in Afterlife.
Oh.
So that's my serious coincidence. So now I've tweeted Ricky Gervais, and I'm begging him to be an extra on Series 3. I want to be an extra on Series 3.
Oh,
so if
fantastic.
Anybody knows, if anybody hears this and knows Ricky Gervais in some way, Mark Spellman wants to be an extra on Afterlife Series 3 because I just want to.
It is brilliant. Well, that was Spooky Story of the Week.
There you go.
And I'll use the thingy once more because we'll most probably never use it again. So, that is weird, though, isn't it? So it's the actual house. It's not the one next door or anything else.
No, it's his house. He said to me in an email, sort of like, love to hear from you. No, actually, it's my house. Ricky lives in Hampstead, a sort of beautiful house in Hampstead, and he often walks his dog past the house. And I don't know how they got talking. I don't know how the introduction happened. But so the front, the corridor scenes, and the front door with the postman and everything else, all that is my wedding photographer's house.
Right.
But what they do is they use the internal part, because I said to Tessa, the inside doesn't look like his house.
Yeah, but they always use a different one, don't they?
Yeah, so that's a studio. So all that is a purpose-built studio. But they use the inside of his house as a green room. So when they're doing all the external stuff, so you can imagine what they do is, they film loads of the external shots for Afterlife, all in what, you know, like sort of 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
But so all the scenes with the postman would be that, like, we're on location, enhanced it, and they'll just film it all and get it all done. So Ricky Gervais will go off and get changed into different outfits for different days.
Yeah.
And they do all those external shots. But they use My Wedding Photographer's house as a green room as well for lunch and stuff like that. But he said that he goes, Ricky Gervais is lovely, which is always lovely to hear. I wouldn't think otherwise, but he's really lovely. They're doing a series 3. It's all confirmed. They're just waiting for the pandemic to ease, which, my goodness, I hope it does. But, you know, me and you've already had a bit of a discussion about that. So that's it. So there you go. Spooky Ghost of the Week.
What do you remember the other thing he had? Was it called Eric or something?
No, Derek.
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 One of our family friends was in that every week.
Okay. Well, see, you know what? I used to be an extra.
Oh, he so was an extra as well. So he was in Star Wars and stuff like that.
Oh, see, I've got another good story. See?
Well, save it for next week.
Save it for next week. Okay. And that story is going to be called... Hang on a minute. What should that be called? Because it was... Nearly in Star Wars story.
Okay, I'll have to try and get a soundbite. Otherwise, we'll just play one of the other ones.
No, a bit of Star Wars. Surely you can get a bit of Star Wars music for that.
I'll give it a go.
Give it a go. So, or a laser beam.
So what else has been happening? It's all very weird, right? So at the moment, we are boiling hot. I'm sitting in my dining room, and at the moment, my dining room is set up. Oh, bear with me one second. My young son is coming in. I've only got one son, and he is young, so I haven't got an elder son. With a nice cup of tea. Thank you very much. Because do you know what? I haven't got whiskey today.
Ah.
And
now that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, do you know why?
Can we just say as well, I know before we came on air, you said I've got to quickly get a painkiller for my side.
Yes. So
What's going on?
Well, I'm in a bit of pain with my side. Keep getting a little bit
of pain. Have you been doing some funny positions?
No. I tell you what, the last 3 weeks, because we've been discussing this, and I've been telling you that I've been piling since lockdown, I've been piling on the weight. So me and Jenny, we've been sort of watching movies. We've been, you know, just watching stuff on Netflix. And we're watching a whole series in a day. So we put it on at like 10 in the morning. We go to bed at 3 in the morning, like the following morning. And we just binge. Yeah, and it's like we were drinking loads of wine. Not to alcoholic levels, but, you know, we were having a few glasses of wine a night, having crisps, chocolates, cakes. Jenny was baking. So I've just been pining on the pound. So for the last 3 or 4 weeks, that's it. I've just cut out alcohol. I have a glass of wine on a Saturday night. Not that I'm a big alcohol drinker anyway, but like unless I'm out socially, but had like a glass on a Saturday night. We have a curry or, you know, a takeaway on a Saturday. But apart from that, that's our cheat day. The rest of the day we're eating healthy. So it's salads for lunch, healthy breakfast if I have breakfast, and a small portion for dinner, and a lot of fruit. So I don't know why I'm telling you this. Anyway, yeah, so...
No, that's good. So your side.
Yes, so my side has got nothing to do with my weight. It's just that today it's just started hurting. That's it. It's a very simple thing.
In some way. Like, you know, you were doing cartwheels as you was going on your evening walk to lose weight.
Absolutely nothing. I've been sitting down all day doing filming and editing, and maybe that's it.
Were you trying to change a light bulb? And you were like reaching up a bit too high.
Not again, mate. Not again.
never again.
So I'm gonna have a little sip of my tea. But
all right, okay. Well, I am actually having a whiskey because I think it's important that one of us keeps the title true. So far, we are still wizards, just about.
Yep.
We are waffling, and one of us is drinking whiskey.
So. Yeah, indeed. So the weather's turned a bit crazy. It's sort of mental hot up here. I presume it is where you are as well.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Mega hot. Mega hot. So today I was in Tessa's clinic all day. doing loads of DIY and that kind of thing. And surprisingly, actually, it was really cool in the clinic, which was actually quite nice. Mm. But yeah, the weather is absolutely crazy hot. It's mental.
Well, we...
Go on.
No, I was going to say, we still haven't been out. We've got no... Well, I say we haven't been out. We pop out occasionally. So this morning, we went to Marks and Spencer's Food Hall in Ashford, which was absolutely lovely. Lovely staff. Beautiful little place. Not too busy. Done our little bit of shopping, come home and done some filming. But we're like genuinely not going out. They're saying the cinemas are open. I can't think of anything I would rather... do less than go to a cinema in this pandemic. I mean, we're recording this on Thursday, so this is going live tomorrow morning. But today on all the news, did you see the beaches?
Yeah.
Did you see them? I just think it's crazy.
Well, I mentioned to you that I had two police officers around here yesterday morning. And for those that don't know, nothing major. I've not been done for anything. It was someone broke into Tessa's car one evening whilst I was watching Mandalorian one evening late at night, about 1:30 in the morning on Netflix. I'm really sort of bigging up the Netflix. Any sponsorship deals with Netflix?
That's actually on Disney.
Oh, God, it is on Disney. Yes, yeah, sorry, Disney. Jesus, there you go. Right, so sorry, Disney. So I was watching Mandalorian, which I highly recommend. Very good if you're a Star Wars kind of person. And then heard got the little ring doorbell and heard the little notification. Thought it was a fox because literally 99.9 times out of 100, it is a fox that's just running along with some sort of dead cat in its mouth or whatever. but on this occasion, I sort of thought, oh, probably a fox. Had a quick look on the app on the phone, and there were two blokes outside the front of the house rummaging around Tessa's car. Now, anybody that has seen Tessa's car, you've got to be a brave cookie to rummage around in it, because Tessa doesn't often clean her car out, let it be said. We had an interesting sort of, you'll find banana skins that are so old and so small. You sort of go, what is that little, that dark little cornflake? but it's actually an old banana skin that's been there for a while. So anyway, so that's what Tessa's cars are. So anyway, cut long story short, police officers came round to get the footage of this incident, this moment of excitement in my life. And I was talking to them, and they said, yeah, we had to break up a street party a week ago. And I was like, really? Because that must have been some street party. They went, yes, 300 people.
What? And they,
300 people at a street party. Oh, and they hadn't even lifted the lockdown yet. This is when they sort of said, you can have a bit of a barbecue with one person from another family, 2 meters apart. And
that
they've gone,
is crazy.
That equals street party. But yeah, it's madness. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. We've discussed this before, and I do think it's a bit of a double-edged sword with, you know, things like this, because yes, I mean, my goodness, there's been a lot of people that have passed away, you know, very sadly to coronavirus, but when they sort of, you know, they started doing the Nightingale Hospital down at the Excel Centre, they said, oh, it's got, you know, facilities for like, I think it was 40,000 people, and, you know, or, you know, and you kind of think, oh my goodness, like this new hospital's opening up in East London to cater the overflow of people fighting this thing. And because they haven't had to use it, which, you know, you sort of think, well, that's good that they've not had to use it. But I think some people are going, wow, big storm in a teacup, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the danger.
Well, people do get complacent. I find myself getting complacent as well, because you are, once you're given, like on Saturday, we had a bit of a social distancing get together with friends. So a few of our friends come round. We all sat in the garden. We got a decent sized garden, so we were all sitting more than 2 meters apart, you know, had a nice cup of tea, some cake and everything else. But if you look at it for what it is, I handed them their teacups or placed them on the table, so I had been touching them. If we go by all the rules, you know, I would have had to hand them their teacups, like with a, I don't know, prop. Some. So yeah, do you know what I mean? And you do
on
get
the end
a
of
bit.
A shovel.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I just pour the tea in the shovel and just shovel it into their mouths.
Exactly.
But
long straws.
But the thing is, you know, you do get a little bit complacent. But I don't understand this sort of, me personally, and I know there's people in different situations, and I've said this before, I class myself as very, very lucky that I do have a house, I do have a garden, and I do actually, I'm quite happy to sit indoors, I can work from home, I can watch TV, I enjoy watching movies, I don't mind sitting in the garden, I could stay indoors, I like being indoors, I'm not a big one for going out all the time. I don't really miss it that much. But there are other people that live in a flat that don't get to go out, don't get luxuries that we've got.
Well, my dad is exactly that example. So my dad is now, I think my dad's 76. I think he is now, got it bad, isn't it? I'll phone him and ask him in a minute. But he lives in a place in North London called Edmonton, and he lives on the 16th floor of a tower block. So he's got no garden, doesn't even have a balcony. You know, like some of the sort of flats have got little balconies. So especially like a day to day. But luckily, I mean, my dad is quite vulnerable. He's got things like COPD. Yeah. He's got asthma and stuff like that. So if my dad got it, I did. Some of the talks that you have to have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm his son, but I'm phoning up my dad and I'm saying, Dad, listen, do not go out, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, if you, and I did drop-offs, like, we'd order in a load of meat and stuff like that, and I'd just get big sort of Sainsbury's bags and just sort of take him a supply of food and fruit and veg and stuff like that, hopefully sort of last him a good sort of week, 2 weeks. Loads of stuff he could put in the freezer. But, you know, like my dad's really quite sensible and stuff. He knows that if he was to get it, it would be a really difficult time for him because of his sort of his ailments throughout life. But like you say, you know, so it's a weird one because if everyone's talking about a second wave, and as at the time of this recording, you know, parts of Germany have gone back into lockdown. Apparently, the spike in Australia is creeping up again. The R rate or something's going up again in Australia.
I think New Zealand, who got through it really well. I mean, their prime minister, she done an amazing job. But I think they're starting to get cases now. You know,
it to me it feels strange because, you know, like, oh God, again. I mean, sort of bore everybody with coronavirus, but if this came from one person in China, you know, from a wet market in China who developed this from eating some suspect food or, you know, from a, I don't know what, you know, there's a lot of speculation and theories about what it was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But if that's come from one person, well, the fact that there are still people in the UK that have got it, there's still new cases that are, you know, they are dropping.
Yeah.
But there are still cases in the UK as it stands. You kind of think, well, how, why is, and I know it's weird, the economy's got to survive and stuff like that, but you sort of think, if we get a second wave, then wouldn't it be better to almost do what New Zealand did and get it down to nothing, you know, and start from that point and go, right, good, great, but no cases.
Do you know what? I don't, you know, I'm not very one for, I never put political views up. I never put religious views up because I know that everyone's got their own view. And whatever mine is, whether it agrees with someone or doesn't, it's my view and theirs is theirs view. And I respect that. So I never get into political arguments. I really don't care, but, you know, all I care about is my view, and whatever your view is, that is absolutely fine. So I'm not really, you know, getting into all that sort of stuff. But it does make me wonder why people are seeing this as, or some people are seeing this as, like a, they're not going to stop me doing what I want to do. And you're thinking, surely you should be thinking, do you know what? I really don't want to get this. I don't understand. And there's a lot of people like that, where it's sort of like a kid that you say, no, you can't do that. And they push it and push it and push it. And you're thinking, but why do you want to? We're not telling you to sit on the naughty step for an hour or two. You're being told this for your own good. And why do you have it in your mind? And there are some people that it's like they've got to rebel against it, as if it's like, you know, I know there's people saying, oh, it's messing with our human rights and stuff like that. And you're thinking, wow, you won't have any if you're dead. You know, yeah, it boils down to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. And likewise, I mean, I've got quite sort of strong opinions about lots of different things. But, I try my best to not sort of get into. I just think a lot of the time, politics wise, it's like saying to someone, look, stop supporting Arsenal, come and support Tottenham.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen. Yeah. You know, you're gonna, you know, like, don't believe in your God, believe in mine, or don't believe in a God or whatever. It's just you're wasting, all you're going to do is lose friends.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, if you want to have an open, friendly discussion. But I just often think those sorts of things. They always say, isn't it? Don't discuss politics or religion with your friends, because it's bound to have an argument about it all. But no, I agree. I think at the end of the day, the only thing that I think the government should have done differently, and that is that I think in order for people to, you know, one of Tessa's clients, well, a few of Tessa's clients actually work on the NHS.
Yeah.
And they say to Tessa, I just come off a pretty much a 48-hour shift where we're sleeping in the staff room for a couple of hours and then having to deal with people, because you're just constantly having to monitor these ventilators and people's breathing difficulties and stuff. And a lot of them are like lying face down and stuff. That's the best way for the lungs to be able to expand more completely or more substantially, apparently. But Tessa was saying to me, Mark, some of the stories they're telling me, it is like, you know, there's one of her clients, you know, literally said, you know, it was one night, there was something like 30 people on the ward, or two wards, that's another death, we need to contact the family, another death. Yeah. And I think, And when you hear that, you kind of go, wow, this is mega. This is really, really serious. And I almost feel that maybe to some people it's been censored. And they sort of think, oh, well, they never had to use like I said before, you know, the hospital in East London. They never had to do this. It's a big storm in a teacup. And, you know, I'm okay. And no one around me suffered from it. So why are we doing this? And you just sort of think maybe there needed to be something that was a little bit more hard hitting. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, well, 70s, but I grew up in the 80s. And I remember when the AIDS, the AIDS virus, you know, came about, and it's, you know, obviously now it's something that we can kind of deal with, you know, sort of medical sort of engineering and, you know, as kind of combated how lethal AIDS is. But in the 80s, it was like some of the advertising campaigns were full on. It was like petrified of AIDS, which rightly so, you know. And I sort of almost think that maybe this is, you know, they've had all of these, it's almost like they've tried to ask us politely, you know, stay at home.
You can't do that. And,
you know, because people go, well, they haven't seen that fuss about it, so why should I? Now, I'm like you. Like, you know, I do like going out. I do like socialising. I do like living my life. I do love performing. I love being on stage. I love doing all those things. But I've got a wife who fought cancer, and I've got a 4-year-old daughter. Yeah. The last thing I want to be doing is bringing that home to either of them. So for me, lockdown for us was lockdown. We went hardcore into lockdown, and I just sort of think, you know, we are like you, we live in, you know, nice houses, and you know, we've got gardens, and you know, we have Netflix, the internet, and FaceTime, and all these things that, you know, are, you know, so it's not hugely difficult to, you know, just stay at home.
No, that's it. And the fact is, you think of it, at the moment, we've got everything at our fingertips. You know, if I want to speak to someone, if I want to see someone's face, I Skype them. I can FaceTime them. I can do whatever I want. You think about, you know, the generations before us that...
Oh, 100%.
You know,
this conversation between us now, I mean, like, we mentioned this on one of the earlier podcasts. The last time we actually physically saw each other, like, you know, to have man hugs and stuff, was the final of Britain's Got Talent.
Last year.
So now we're going on a year, so 12 months, I've not actually been able to sniff you.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. you know what I mean? Not that I do that. I mean, what?
Well, you do.
I do.
Unless I catch you.
Yeah, stop it. But, you know, so, I mean, a perfect example, but it's weird when you say to me, you know, when you mentioned it on the podcast before, that was the last time. Because I think, really? Like that long ago? But that's because we're able to communicate and do FaceTime and Skype and brainstorm and do things like this, you know, so... You know, yes, of course, it's a break from what we normally do. And you know, the last performance I did was in Dubai. You know, I mean, I've done a couple of Zoom performances, but I don't know, to me, they're kind of performances.
Yeah.
You know, for me, walking out on a stage as X or something like that's a proper performance for me.
Yeah.
And that was in Dubai. So you know.
Wow. I tell you, it is so weird, but you know. Everyone seems to be getting on with it okay. I mean, it's confusing times at the moment with all that, you know. You can stand 1 meter apart unless you can stand 2 meters, then we'd prefer you stand 2 meters. But if you can't, stand 1 meter. Well, hang on a minute, what's going to save me, 2 meters or 1 meter?
Yeah, exactly. And you think to yourself, like, if me and you stood 1 meter apart, I mean, I could reach out and touch you pretty much. Do you know what I mean? So my one thing that I am quite sort of, I think we mentioned this in a previous podcast as well, because this has been going on. Ironically, our podcast has been all the way through this pandemic.
Yeah.
So obviously it's going to come up a couple of times. Sorry if this is my old God again. But I do think that this virus predominantly, I mean, there are studies where they're saying that there are other ways of catching it through, obviously surface. If I touch a surface and I've got it, and there's particles, and then you come along and you touch that. Apparently, it's very prominent on metals. You know, there's new studies all the time. But the one big way of catching this, easiest and quickest, most direct ways, is if I cough and particles come out, and then you breathe those particles in. Yeah. So for me, from day one, really, I would have just said any outside activity, shopping, or, you know, like going to the doctors or whatever you've got to do, buying essentials, it's compulsory you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Because if you're wearing a mask and I'm wearing a mask, surely
it's got to do something, hasn't it?
Well, that beats a 2 meter.
Yeah.
Because if I'm standing 2 meters away from you and I cough and then you walk behind me 2 meters into my airstream, if you like, but if I'm wearing a mask that's caught all my particles and you've got another barrier on your face that stops you from breathing in those particles, surely that's just the way forward.
Yeah, you would think so. Well,
and Tess said to me, a really good way of testing a mask, I bought some masks off of Amazon, I think I got some, because some of them are a bit uncomfortable to wear, but I found these ones and all the reviews were like, these are really comfortable to wear. So I got them for me, Tessa and Isabella. We've got Isabella a little one with a rainbow on it. She chose it.
Yeah.
It was a cute sort of little mask. Not that she really goes out, but Tessa said to me, the best way of testing a mask is that you light a candle or light a lighter and put the mask on, try and blow it out.
Yeah.
And the ones that I got from Amazon, Tessa said, oh, let me... feels really thin. So she put the mask, couldn't blow it out. And that tells you that's a good thing. If air is not coming out, then a moisture particle
That's great. We got some. Jenny bought some masks.
This is where X works perfectly as a performance option.
Yeah.
So any people out there wanting to have some live entertainment, X already wears a mask, so he's already
and gloves.
Rubber gloves. Yeah. A lot of people thought that they were leather gloves. They're not. They're actually latex gloves, but black latex gloves that X wears. And that was purely on the basis that I had to, there was a couple of bits where I need to be able to feel, you know, we wear a pair of leather gloves and try and do a car trick or something like that. It's never going to work.
Yeah.
So latex gloves were perfect because it is like a second skin. So, wears gloves and a mask already. So there you go. Clearly the best option for live entertainment.
So there you go. If you need an entertainer, X is there. Mark, that's brought us to the end of this week's podcast.
Oh, there you go. And we didn't mention, I don't think we mentioned BGC One.
We didn't. But no. I did have this lined up.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe that's one for next week.
Yeah. Right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Mark, I will speak to you next week. And next week we'll be back on Tuesday. But have yourselves a great weekend. Mark, I'll see you next week. Guys, remember, and we've got a Facebook group, which is Wizards Whiskey and Waffle. So that is on Facebook. You can go check that out. Remember to subscribe to this podcast as well and share it if you've got any friends that you feel may enjoy it. All right, Mark.
And also, stay safe. Stay safe. We're still in the middle of this, you know, so please stay safe for your loved ones and for yourselves, and just kind of maintain a sort of sense of sensibility, if you like.
Yeah. And have yourselves a good weekend, and we will speak to you again on Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to the Wizards Whiskey and Waffle Podcast with Peter Nardi and Mark Spellman. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and subscribe. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.